Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you just remain standing. Great job. Let's stay on our feet as we make our confession today. You see those words come up on the screen. Thank you, choir. If you'd like to know a little bit more about what they do and where they're from, there's a table out in the foyer. You can stop by there after the service and visit with some of these wonderful young people. And again, Brad, thanks for coming and being here in this place. Appreciate these folks down here in the pit. Thanks for letting that guy out of the box, too, before we got going. So good. Hey, choir, can you hear me? Can you hear me all right? Okay, we've redone a little sound, so I always like to make sure the big givers and big sinners can hear, all right? So that's good. Amen. Well, we're making our confession today, so let's share together that we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church of the living God, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This morning we come in this creed to the line that says, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. When you read your Bible, you will find that word forgive, forgiven, forgiveness again and again and again. The word forgiveness literally means to be sent away. It's like the scapegoat in the Old Testament, where they would bring one goat, kill it, and sacrifice it, and take the blood of that sacrifice and put it on the head of the other goat and send it into the wilderness so that the sin of the people had gone away. The scapegoat sends sin away in its symbolic form in the Old Testament. And when the very Lamb of God came, Jesus, through his blood, took your sin and he forgives and he sends it away. As Psalm 103 and verse 12 says, he sends it as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. And somebody ought to say amen. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. As you are seated, take your Bible and go to the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 38 and 39, where Paul is speaking, coming into the synagogue, and he has opened the Old Testament. And then he begins to explain the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that forgave his sin and would forgive anyone's sin that would come unto him. And in this message, we pull verses 38 and 39 and we hear the great apostle speaking, and Luke records these words. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, that is through Jesus. And the choir's been singing all morning about that name, that glorious name, no other name, that through him, through Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. What the law could not do, the grace and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ did. The forgiveness of our sins. It was Alexander Pope who said, and we hear it quoted often, to err is human, to forgive is divine. We all have sinned. You that are without sin, cast the first stone. There's no one to throw. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone in this building has a sin issue. As a matter of fact, our sin is so great, coming against the holiness of God, that given to us is the sentence of eternal death if we stay in our sin. But I believe in the forgiveness of sin, that our sin through Christ is sent away. And so this morning, I want to deal from a biblical perspective with this issue of forgiveness. Let me say a few things to you regarding forgiveness. Number one, first of all, we find in Scripture that it is God who forgives sin. God forgives sin. David said in Psalm 51 and verse number 4, that against you and you alone, O Lord, I have sinned. Now I want you to hear this preacher today. You are a sinner. Never, ever forget. You are sinful. So preacher, I always know that. Oh, it's one thing to think about it in your mind. It's another thing to understand your need of redemption. And friend, your sin is not against me. Your sin is not against your brother. Your sin is against holy God. And there is only one who is able to forgive sin. In Luke 5:24, the Bible says that Jesus has the authority to forgive sin. I don't have the authority to deal with your sin. I can't forgive it. I can't send it away. But Jesus, the Bible says, has the authority to forgive the sin that we have committed against God. There are two great illustrations in the Word of God about that. You remember in Luke chapter 7, Jesus has gone to a house, and there they're having a meal, and there's a woman there, and they want to send her away. And the Bible says in Luke 7, verse 37, she was a sinful woman. It probably means she was a prostitute. Probably a lady of the night of the streets. She washed the feet of the Lord Jesus. And he said to her in Luke 7:48, he said to a whore, a prostitute, a hooker, your sins are forgiven. He's got the authority to do that. Whatever your sin might be, Jesus has the authority to say to you, your sins are forgiven. They are sent away. We find another illustration in Scripture of that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. We also find the story in Mark's Gospel. It's the story of the paralytic. They went up on the roof and they let him down. You remember those guys holding the ropes and they let him down. And we find that Jesus says to that paralytic, when they begin to argue about his sin, he looks at him and he says, son, your sins are forgiven. Not only was he healed outwardly, he was healed inwardly, and he forgave his sin, he picked up his pallet, and you know the story that he went home. I want you to know today, friend, if you come to Jesus, and if you cry out to Jesus, Jesus would say to you today, your sins are forgiven. They go away. Acts 3 and verse 19. It is there that the Bible tells us that God wipes sin away. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. If you will repent and if you come to Christ, I'm telling you, He will wipe your sins away. You know the hardest thing to find in a Baptist church? It's a marker for a dry erase board. You go into every classroom we got and there's a dry erase board. But you can't find a marker anywhere. If you're going to teach a class, you better keep those markers in your pocket, because whoever comes in the class after you is going to steal your dry erase marker. They're gone. Did you notice when you write on that board, then somebody comes behind you and they wipe away what you've written? Well, I want you to understand, in your life is written this word, S-I-N, sin. and the Lord Jesus comes and he wipes away our sin. He sends it away. Isaiah 44 and verse 22, a very unusual illustration of it, where the Old Testament writer says, God has wiped out our transgressions like a thick cloud, and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. He said he wipes away our sin like a thick cloud, like the heavy mist. It goes away. He covers our sin. He cleanses our sin. And then Paul said it in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4, not that he wipes away our sin, but that he cancels our debt, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Amen. Jesus, he wipes it away like a heavy mist in a thick cloud. He covers it. He cancels your sin debt. Now, let me talk to you about your sin for just a moment. You have a need of having your sin forgiven, and then you have a need of having your sins forgiven. Let's deal with the singular first. When you have your sin forgiven, that is your salvation experience. That's when you come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And he takes all of your sin, past, present, and yes, indeed, future. And he pays for your sin. He cancels your sin debt. When you're saved, your sins are forgiven. Now, friend, hear me. When you get saved, you are saved for eternity. All of your sin has been paid for. Not just what you did, but what you're doing and what you're going to do. I'm telling you, the blood covers you past, present, and forever. Your sin is forgiven. So you come and you trust Christ, you're saved, you're baptized, you follow after the Lord, and then you're walking after him, and a few days later, uh-oh, you blow it. Sin enters your life. You say a word you shouldn't say. You have an attitude you shouldn't have. You take a step you shouldn't take. Now what do you do with your sins as a believer? Well, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9 tells us what to do. Therefore, if we will confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, now, Pastor, if I get saved and then I sin one of these sins after that I've been saved and I were to die, heaven or hell? Heaven. Heaven. There'll be a cost to pay. There'll be a crown lost. There'll be a blessing missed. But in this world, when sin is in your life, you confess that and God cleanses that. That makes you this person willing and able and ready to have the anointing of God, the power of God within your life. So you should stay clean before the Lord. That's why we have an altar in this place, why people come and they kneel here. But you don't just do it here, you do it at home, you do it wherever you are. You confess your sin. If you had to confess your sin any this week as a believer, I said, if you had to confess your sin any this week as a believer? Amen. Well, if you hadn't, it's time to get caught up. We all have that issue because there's none without sin. All of us. Thank God that the door is wide open. This is a great teaching time. I've been talking to you about it a little bit. I walked up this morning and there were four or five guys out here in the foyer, our ushers, that were gathered up before the service. And I walked up and I said, is this the conclave that's going to elect the new pope? They said, yes, sir, and we've put your name in. I said, well, I've been reading about this retirement deal and I really like the retirement package that the recent pope got. It looks pretty good to me. They said, well, we put your name in. I said, well, where's your red hat? They said, we don't wear the red hat. And I said, well, if you elect me, I don't think I can wear that pope's hat either. That looks binding to me. So, Pastor, we'll get it for you. We'll put a little chin strap around it just for you. Now, think about this. There is a mindset that says you need a human mediator to get you to God the Father. Therefore, you've got to find a human priest in order to get to God the Father. This book says there is but one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. I asked my Catholic friends about it. I said, well, what do you do? So we go to the confessional, we talk to the priest, and we confess our sins. He tells us what to do and forgives our sin. We walk through that. I said, what's a cardinal do? He confesses. I said, well, what's a pope do? He said, the pope goes straight to the Lord. I said, the pope's a Baptist. Amen. That's the way we do it. We go straight to the Father. And dear friend, when you've got sin in your life, you go straight to the Father. You confess your sin unto the Father. You are a priest, a royal priesthood. And there's no mediator between God and man save the man, Christ Jesus. He's reached down, he reaches up. He is our mediator. Confess your sin. Get happy in Jesus today. God forgives sin. There's a second thing I want to tell you about forgiveness. That is that there is a sin the Lord will not forgive. We find it in the book of Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. Where the scripture says, therefore I say unto you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. There's an unpardonable sin. There's one sin that God will never forgive. Blasphemy against the Spirit. You say, what is that? This was the sin of the people of the first century when Jesus walked among us, and they said that what Jesus did was demonic, and they blasphemed the Spirit of God, and that sin will not be forgiven. I believe that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit could only be committed when Jesus was alive in the flesh. Others would disagree with that, and we have a difference of interpretation. But I believe when they saw Christ and they said what he's doing is of Beelzebub, of the father of the devil, then they blasphemed the Spirit of God, and even God himself would not forgive that. You be very careful when you begin to talk about the works of God that you see maybe in someone else or another place, and you begin to say, well, they say that's of God, I say that's of the demonic. There is a sin that God does not forgive, and is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Dear friend, if you will not believe, and if your heart blasphemes against the Spirit, and I mean by that you reject him and resist him, there is no forgiveness for your sin. You will go out into eternity lost, condemned, and one day at eternal judgment seat damned without Christ. For when we believe not, we are cast aside. We do not preach a universalism in this church. The Bible does not know of a universalism where everybody is going to heaven no matter what you believe. The Bible is very specific. It's very narrow that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's but one way to come, and his name is Christ. There is a sin that God will not forgive. God forgives sin. There is a sin he does not forgive. But then there's something else about forgiveness I want you to see, and that is that we forgive sin. We forgive sins. God forgives us. There's one sin that he's not tolerating, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But then there is to be this forgiveness in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 and 32 speaks of it, where Paul says to the church at Ephesus to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Oh my. As God forgave you, so forgive others. C.S. Lewis said it this way. Listen to the old prophet where C.S. Lewis said, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. You should forgive the inexcusable of others because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6 and verses 14, 15. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So if you want heaven's forgiveness, you need to show forgiveness. Do you know what rips and ruins more churches than anything in the world? Unforgiveness. You know what will tear up a traveling choir? Unforgiveness. Now, I've looked at all these faces. These are nice people. They don't have any issues on their bus. And for Olive, it's really only 11 o'clock crowd where we have these issues. But every now and then, one of those 11 o'clockers will float over into early church because they got something going, and they bring that. Oh, we all have this issue, don't we? We know we do. We surely do. And we have to forgive another. How much do we forgive? Well, that's a Bible question. Lord, how many times should I forgive him? Jesus, 70 times 7, so Peter counts her up. 488, 489. No, it's perfection time perfection. We forgive. Now, somebody will hurt your feelings in this church. You hang around here long enough and it'll happen. I was out here in the parking lot, two or three weeks ago, and a lady drove up, had her son, wanted to play basketball, and there was something going on in the gym, there were cars everywhere. And so I walked out. I just happened to drive up and saw her, and I didn't know her, and I was talking to her. And I said, well, ma'am, I really don't know what's going on in there tonight. I just got here, but there's something going on. But I tell you what, I can find out. If you'll just pull down here to the front of the gym, I'll walk down, I'll take you in. And she pulled her, she got ready to go. And all of a sudden, a guy who's a homeless man, I know him around here, he's on his bicycle, and he came wheeling up to her car, and kind of threw gravel up, and he just started talking to her. And I said, ma'am, if you'll just back up and go and come down. And that young man on that bicycle, he cussed me like a yard dog. He said, you arrogant SOB, you. And he didn't use initials. I said, sir, I'll deal you in just a minute. I'm trying to help this lady. So I walked down to the gym. And I kept looking back up there. You just stay right there. I'm not big, but I got the heart of a champion in the body of this wimp, all right? I'm just telling you, I'm looking down there. So I got the lady in, helped her son, and did all that. And so I went back through the hallway. I said, I'm fixing to come out that door where he's waiting. And he is gone. Yellow-bellied chicken. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost of God dealt with me. He said, as I have forgiven you, you should forgive them. Just as I've forgiven the inexcusable in you, what he did was inexcusable, but you forgive the inexcusable in him. If you're going to be my child, begin to forgive and act like it. Now, Olive family, I want you to hear me. There's no place in this church family for holding grudges. You don't hold grudges. You give forgiveness. When you start holding grudges, that's when your inside starts flipping up and down. You can go to the Mayo Clinic website, and they've got a whole section on forgiveness, on the healthiness of forgiveness. You'll feel better if you'll forgive. You really will. It'll relieve ulcers and worry. As a matter of fact, most of the grudges you hold, the folks you're holding them against, hadn't got a clue because they forgot all about it. You're not hurting them. You're hurting you. And the Bible says to forgive one another. I read in the Word of God about forgiveness. There are great stories of forgiveness in Scripture. One of my favorites is the 11th child of Jacob. His daddy gave him a multicolored tunic or a coat, you know. We know Joseph. He is a smart aleck. Joseph needed smacking. And so those older brothers decided to give it to him. He comes down there and nosing around, and you know what they do. They throw him in a pit and take his coat and put the blood of a wild beast on it, take it back to Jacob and say, your favorite little boy is dead. And they sold him into slavery. You know how the story goes, Ishmaelites got him. Hello, somebody get that, would you? The Ishmaelites got him and took him off and sold him, and Potiphar wound up with him, and Potiphar's wife came on to him, and he got in trouble, winds up in prison, has a dream, gets out of prison, and then he rises to the rank of second in command. Then there's a famine over there where those boys here he grew up. And they wind up coming to Egypt. They don't even realize that they've got to come out of Joseph for food. Now let me tell you, if I'm Joey, these hot shots about to pay big time. Amen. I'm fixing to drop the hammer on them. Because I'm a Baptist and I get even. Oh, but the Spirit of Jesus is in old Joseph. You read the 50th chapter of Genesis. You get down to the end of the book of Genesis, and Joseph will say, what you and the wicked one meant for evil, God meant for good. And I'm going to love you and help you. And by the way, how's Daddy doing? And they load up the wagons, and they bring him, and there's rejoicing. Why? Because the younger brother has forgiven the older brothers. My Lord, my God, there needs to be grand forgiveness in the house of God. You don't have to be around here long to get your feelings a little hurt. Somebody will act stupid. They'll say something. They sometimes just trying to be funny. They don't mean it, and yet it's not a good time for you, and it wounds you. Dear friend, if you're going to be like Jesus, don't wait for them to come ask for forgiveness or say they're sorry, because I'm telling you, about 99 out of 100 times, they're not coming. Just forgive. Just forgive. Now, I don't know if I can get this right or not. I read it this week. I didn't write it down. One wag I read said that men and women are different. He said that men forget, but they don't forgive. Women forgive, but they don't forget. Now, you can try those socks on at your house if you want to. I'm just telling you that. But God's children, male or female, they, because of what God has done in Christ and forgiveness of them, they forgive others and then let it go. You say, well, preacher, I can't forget. You're right. Unless you get spiritual amnesia, you're not going to forget. But if you didn't remember, it would not be forgiveness. It'd be dementia. There's some good in that Alzheimer's deal. But you see, when you forgive, you let go. Because as God means forgiveness, means to send sin away. What you do is, even when you know it's, you send it away. And you forgive. Well, it's not easy. I'm here to tell you, it'll take the power of the Spirit of God. It'll take what you saw on that old cross. You remember when they stretched him out? Jesus was dying and he's praying and he looks down and he says, Father, what did he say? Forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And oh, when revival comes, there's a great spirit of forgiveness. Yeah. I got to humming an old song this week thinking about this message. And the song is, you remember the old song, Oh Happy Day? Oh Happy Day. When Jesus did what? He washed my sins away. Oh Happy. Leo, do you know that song? You remember? Come on, I know you can sing it. Oh Happy Day. Help me, boss. Come on. You got it, Doc. Don't y'all want to sing that? I bet they know it.
I think they know it, Pastor.
Yeah, let's sing that little song, all right?
Oh, happy day. Pastor.
Listen to this. And Leo's just off the cuff. He's going to do this for us.
All right, choir, y'all going to help me out, please.
Yeah.
I'm on the spot.
You got it, choir? All right, here we go.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day. Jesus
washed.
Ah, oh,
yes, he did.
When Jesus
washed. Oh, he washed.
When Jesus washed.
I said he washed.
When Jesus washed.
He washed my sins away.
Oh, happy day.
Was a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed.
When Jesus washed.
I said he washed.
When Jesus washed.
I know he washed.
When Jesus washed.
He washed my sins away. It was a happy day.